south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Okay, first, a little seminar update. Remember, I'm having another Expat Insider Seminar, this time in March 2023. It'll start March 17th and end on the 24th. One intensive week drinking from the fire hose. We'll be in both Guatemala and El Salvador, and you'll be flying in and out of the Guatemalan airport. For complete info and sign-up details, just go to expatplanb.com and click on the seminar link. Oh, and as usual, there will be repeat offenders. They're signing up already, and as usual, they get a $1,000 discount. Oh, and don't forget, if you sign up by February 1st, 2023, you get in on that early bird discount, $500 off the regular price. You know, coming to the seminar is the easiest way to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your plan B. Hey, that's not my quote. People who attend my seminars tell me that all the time. People also call it an expat boot camp experience. By the way, I assume you are working on your plan B, right? You're not just an armchair expat wannabe, are you? Oh, and just last night I was talking to an expat that's been living down here 4 years. He said, Johnny, isn't it strange that it seems only smart people, people above average, usually way above average, have a plan B? I said, to me it makes complete sense. I'm not surprised at all. Why would the average schmuck have even a passing interest in a plan B? The lemmings have been duped. That's why they call them lemmings, right? They're just on that treadmill living for today. They're not thinking about tomorrow. Even when you talk about sheep, there's always one or two smart ones in the flock. They're the ones that have sort of sixth sense. They buck and run well before the herd is led to the shearing dock or to slaughter. So then, where do you fit in that equation? Or maybe you're all right watching Netflix sitting in your stateroom on the Titanic. However, if you're not okay with that, come on down to my Expat Inside seminar and meet my crew. Oh, and you'll get to meet and hang with some of the long-term expats you hear about on this show, too. Just go to expatplanb.com and check out the details. All right, here's an email from Hannibal. He's either from Australia or New Zealand, can't remember. He says, hey, mate, a dead giveaway, right? What do you think of getting residency by investment in Costa Rica? Then he sends me a link to the details. Well, Hannibal, I'd say Costa Rica is in the top 5 worst destinations in Latin America for a plan B. The 2 worst ones being, of course, Cuba and Venezuela. They're the worst by far. Costa Rica's not even in that category, but I've been in and out of the place 100 times. I lived there for 2.5 years. Yes, it was a long time ago, but I'm still in frequent contact with some of my buddies who still live there. By the way, almost every one of them wants to get the hell out, but can't because it's either they made investments or married a Costa Rican girl and are stuck there for whatever reason. In fact, I've got 2 good friends in Costa Rica who pretty much can't leave because they got scammed out almost all their dough and don't have the wherewithal or the energy to pick up and leave and start up again some other place. That's a depressing thought, getting scammed out of your nest egg, huh? I don't know why I have to repeat this, probably because lots of new people are coming on to the show all the time, and they haven't heard some of this. They're new to the expat wannabe and gonna-be game, and they don't know the ins and outs of Costa Rica. So they're still asking, is it a good place to go? But I gotta tell you, there isn't a single gringo or expat I know that relocated to Costa Rica who hasn't been ripped off, scammed, or swindled in a pretty substantial way. I could go on with story after story, and some of the scammers are pretty creative too, especially the lawyers and real estate guys. The funny thing is, some very smart, even brilliant gringos and expats have been scammed. And you wonder, how'd that happen? Aren't they smart enough to know better? Well, the thing is, you go to a Latin American country, you're enticed by the tropical weather, the tropical architecture, the smells, the tropical everything. And in the back of your mind, you're still thinking you're from the US or Europe, a first world powerhouse. And now you've landed in a third world country just filled with unsophisticates, if that's a real word. So you, with your vast first world knowledge and experience, should be able to pick out the good guys from the bad guys immediately. You've heard stories about people get scammed, so you'll sidestep that right away and go to a gringo contractor or real estate guy. After all, who's more trustworthy, a Latino or a gringo? Famous last words. Case in point, Hannibal sends me a link in perfect English, and a very glossy, cool-looking link too, a link to a group called Investor Costa Rica. For sure, it's owned and operated by gringos. Anyway, in reading through this thing, you find what they're really trying to do is sell you real estate. And they give you all kinds of conflicting information about residency and getting a nationality and passport, too. Like, for example, in the first paragraph, it says, if you have $100,000 to invest, you can apply for citizenship after 3 years with no obligation to live in Costa Rica. Or if you invest $150,000, then your citizenship will be granted immediately. Yeah, right. Which is a complete lie. I've never heard that ever happen to anyone before. No one gets instant citizenship in Costa Rica. I don't even know of any gringo or expat who's got their citizenship in Costa Rica in 5 years unless they married a Costa Rican or had a kid with a Costa Rican and lived there 5 years. Then it says in the third paragraph, are you tired of the rat race? Do you want to live in a country with no income taxes? If so, Costa Rica is your answer. All right, that's lie number two. Costa Rica has a regular income tax system, and the only way you as an expat pay no income tax is if all your income is derived from another source outside the country, like the U.S., and then you'll get nailed with U.S. income taxes. So, for example, if you have a business in Costa Rica and make any money there, it is taxable under Costa Rican law. Next, we have lie number three in the following paragraph. It reads like this. Recently, Costa Rica has become a popular option because of its low cost of living. Compared to what? New York City? It's got the highest cost of living in all of Latin America. What they fail to tell you is, to live like a first world person there, you gotta make first world dough. Then they throw some other conflicting info at you. The next paragraph says, many people are looking for a way to get their residency in exotic locations like Costa Rica. The most popular program is through purchasing real estate, which can be done with cash or financed. Then it says, here's how it works. You buy a property in Costa Rica worth $150,000 to $2 million US dollars. You pay the initial fee of $150,000 and you pay the annual taxes thereafter for 20 years. Then it says you get a local ID card or cedula and a passport after 5 years. Wait a minute. Huh? Didn't they just say in the first paragraph, if you invest $150,000 in real estate, you get instant passport and citizenship? Then why does it say four paragraphs later that you get that local ID cedula card and passport after 5 years? Then it says, by the way, we can provide information on property prices in all kinds of different areas. Schedule an appointment with us today, et cetera, et cetera. So, bottom line, the gringos have invaded the country. They started doing so 30-some years ago. They own and operate all kinds of real estate and investment businesses. And though they're not all scammers, not by any means, even the upfront guys take hefty percentages and commissions. And newly arrived green gringos don't know any better because they don't speak Spanish and they trust another gringo much more than they'd trust a local. At least that's what you hear in the rumor mills of all the bars and coffee shops there. As one of my gringo buddies told me, once you've been scammed or swindled by a local or two, if you're not too discouraged and end up heading back to the States with your tail between your legs, you try again. And the next time, you try using gringo and expat so-called professionals. You know, real estate agents, construction guys, brokers, etc. Oh, and here's the other thing. Suppose it were true, you could drop $150,000 on a real estate project, whatever, and get instant or pretty quick residency and passport. Even if it were true, and it isn't, then what? Who really wants to live in Costa Rica with the high cost of living and all the other problematic secondary effects? I mean, look, after 30 years of gringos piling in, the locals are tainted and don't much like gringos and expats except for the dollars they shovel in. So let's say you do have Costa Rican residency or passport. Though admittedly, it's awful nice to have a second passport. I recommend it. Still, but don't you think it would be awful nice to have a passport and residency in a country where you have a nice solid gringo advantage and the people like and appreciate gringos, where they don't smile in your face then stab you in the back? Well, it might not happen to you, but just saying. Oh, and here's another thing people don't talk about. Gringos and expats have been piling in so long that we employ lots of locals. To that effect, the government has passed many, many restrictive employment laws, vastly in favor of the people working for mostly gringos and expats. With those laws, strictly aimed at gringos and expats who have live-in maids, gardeners, and other Costa Rican employees working in small gringo businesses. Funny thing, too. They're heavily enforced when it comes to gringos and expats, but when it comes to Costa Rican locals who have live-in maids, gardeners, etc., if there's some kind of employee violation or complaint, enforcement is lax, very spotty. But if there's a complaint against a gringo or expat boss, they crack the whip hard. And the labor court will even put a block or embargo on your passport so you can't leave the country until you've settled the case or the claim. Like, for example, if your cleaning lady says you fired her for insufficient cause, there'll be a labor board hearing and you better show up. In fact, I know of two gringos personally who were blocked from leaving the country at the airport when they were on their way back to the States for the Christmas holidays. And in both cases, they found out it was due to an employment complaint filed by workers they let go more than a year earlier. And another thing, in Costa Rica, or as the Canadians say, Costa Rica, don't think you're ever going to get a live-in maid for $200 or $300 a month. That may be true in almost every other Latin American country, but forget about it in Costa Rica. With all the bonuses, Social Security, and healthcare deductions and that, you'll pay twice the salary compared to any other Latin American country. Besides that, after someone's been working for you for a few months, it's almost impossible to fire them without giving them a bloated severance package. Doesn't matter if you caught your cleaning lady loafing, stealing, or porking the guy in the guard shack. Can you say porking without getting canceled? Well, haven't heard it in any rap song yet, so maybe not. Have you read Animal Farm? Barnyard slang, you know? Anyway, you know, in all the years I've been in Latin America, I've always had cleaning ladies and gardeners and maintenance guys, too. I must have had 10 or 15 of them over years, and I've never signed an employment contract. Though the law in every country says you're required to do that. For me, whatever kind of deal I made with my maintenance guy or cleaning lady, it's always been a verbal or a handshake deal. And the fact is, as demeaning and as classist as this may sound, and I don't want to make it seem that way, I'm just telling you the truth now. I've never had a cleaning lady or maintenance guy even mention the words employment contract. Hell, you've heard the stats. 30 to 40% of people in Latin America don't even have bank accounts. And they're supposed to be employment contract savvy? However, if you really want to do things on the up and up and have an employment contract, just ask your lawyer. He'll have one on file. But as for people applying for those domestic and maintenance jobs, they're just unsophisticated about those things and just want to have a job and get paid and work for a gringo. They all want to work for a gringo because they know they're going to get paid on time. And they've also heard the rumors that gringos give extra little gifts and other freebies, cell phones, computers, food, clothes, even kick in for their kids to go to private schools, etc., etc. So I'm kind of getting the idea these days that even though some people in the working class know about those employment contracts, they just don't want to mention it in case it causes a negative impression with their prospective employer. Because for me and every other gringo I know, we don't like those things. We don't want to sign them, even though we're supposed to do it. So, do I recommend skirting the law? Nope, I'm not saying that. It's your choice. But I'll tell you what I always insist on. When I pay my cleaning lady her extra 2 months' salary, you know, they all get that. It's called aguinaldo and bona catorce. It's split into two payments, one in June and one right before Christmas. Well, I always have my cleaning lady and maintenance guy sign a piece of paper saying they got it. I make them sign a little statement to that effect every year. Because that's one of the only ways an employee can really screw her or his employer, by going down to the Government Labor and Employment Bureau and saying the employer did not pay those extra 2 months. And that's a big no-no. In fact, that very thing happened to expat Eddie a couple of years back. He had a maintenance guy he fired for stealing from him. It was in El Salvador. The guy claimed that Eddie fired him for no good reason and didn't have an employment contract, another offense, and he didn't pay him indemnization, another offense. But Eddie always did what I did. He paid him the extra 2 months' salary and had him sign a piece of paper confirming it. So when the case came up in labor court, along with that evidence that proved the guy was lying, when he claimed Eddie didn't pay him the extra 2 salary months a year, well, Eddie did admit to not having an employment contract, another sin. Well, it was Eddie's word against his. Eddie said the guy wouldn't sign one. Beyond just a few negative words, it wasn't discussed. Because, like so many workers in that category, the guy said to Eddie, I don't want to sign a contract because then I'll have to go on the books and you'll have to withhold taxes, Social Security, and my national health care contribution. And in El Salvador, that came to around 5 to 7% of his salary. Like so many other basic workers in Latin America, he didn't want Eddie to withhold that from his salary. He wanted to get paid that directly, have the money in his hand. So, in the end, the judge slapped Eddie with a $400 fine. So, was it worth it or not? Well, if you ask Eddie, he says it definitely was worth it because if he'd been on the books, if the guy would have signed a contract, it would have been quite a bit more expensive to get rid of the guy. And the guy, being how he was, would still probably have brought him to court. And when a gringo or expat goes to labor court in Latin America, he usually has to fork out something. After all, he's the guy with the money, and the guys that suing him is usually dead broke. Anyway, in Eddie's case, since the guy worked for him for around 2.5 years, he would have had to pay him something like a half year's salary, which would have worked out to about $2,000. That indemnization I was talking about. So the $10,000 question once again is, should you have an employment contract or not? Well, there's something interesting about making that decision. The farther you are off the Gringo Tourist Trail, which is another reason I like living off the Gringo Tourist Trail, the more likely it is your employee will not want a contract. They'll say the same thing Eddie's maintenance guy said when he first got hired. They'll say, give me the cash. I don't want to be on the books. I don't want you to withhold anything. That's especially true with younger workers, people under, let's say, 35 years old. However, when you hire a cleaning lady who's over, let's say, 25 years old, she's usually got a couple of kids, and she just might want to sign an employment contract because then her kids get on the national healthcare system. Because you see, in some Latin American countries, just because you're a citizen or a resident, you don't automatically get it on their medieval national healthcare system. By the way, you'll find that most average Latin Americans like their national healthcare system, even if they have to wait in line for 8 hours to see a doctor. Why? Because it's free, or basically free, just a few bucks to see a doctor or go to the hospital. The average Latino certainly has more time than money, and to go to a private doctor, let's say, and get in right away, it might cost 20 or 25 bucks for a visit. For them, it's a lot of dough. It could be more than a day's pay. Anyway, to become a member of a country's medieval national healthcare system, you have to actually be a registered worker paying in or the dependent kids of a registered worker paying in. So depending on those national healthcare rules, that's a big factor in whether your cleaning lady or maintenance guy wants to be on the books or not. But do remember, if you're in a heavily gringoized area like Panama, Costa Rica, most of Mexico, you better stick to the rules. Keep them on the books. Sign an employment contract because gringos and expats are at a disadvantage when it comes to labor laws. And if you end up in front of a labor board, you'll probably lose. It's a funny thing, too, and a perfect example of no good deed goes unpunished because everybody knows. The rumors are everywhere, so abundant, too, that everyone wants to work for a gringo or expat because we pay on time, give out those extras, etc. And yet, in the gringoized areas anyway, the labor laws are made to protect bad actors, that is, lazy thieves and scoundrels. It sure seems that way. Latin lawyers will tell you what happens to employers who end up in labor court, and it's not pretty. It is ironic, though. Everyone wants to work for a gringo, and yet the labor laws are written to make us ripe for the gouge. So then you might ask, how do those really tough labor laws get written? How do they get on the books? Think about it. If you got 70 or 80% of the country's people working those grunt jobs, what better way for a politician to get voted in than to have that as a platform? Who wouldn't vote for a guy that promised the masses that they'd get 6 months indemnization, even if they got fired from a job for stealing or loafing? Oh, and since we're on the subject, I don't like to have a live-in cleaning lady or even a gardener living in the maintenance shack on the premises. I tried it once 10 or 15 years ago for 3 or 4 months, a live-in cleaning lady, that is. But, you know, having someone around all the time, even at night, that kind of gets on your nerves if you're coming from a middle or lower middle-class background like I do. We're just not used to that. And if you're a private person like me who doesn't have any kids, a person who likes peace and quiet, not someone mousing around your house all the time, for sure, a live-in cleaning lady could get on your nerves. Besides, like my good buddy once told me, it precludes you from walking around the house in your underwear. Oh, and speaking of Costa Rica, here's something that just might get me canceled. I'm just reading a headline now from a travel and leisure magazine called Travel Noir, T-R-A-V-E-L-N-O-I-R-E. The title of this article, Black Women Love This Travel Destination. Yep, that's right. That's the title. This article just came out January 11th. And where is this wonderful vacation spot black women love to visit? It's Costa Rica. Specifically, the Caribbean side, a place called Puerto Viejo. So you might be thinking, now, why would Johnny say that he might get canceled for talking about this? Well, riddle me this, bad man. Can you imagine if the article's headline said, White Women Love This Travel Destination? There'd be unbelievable wails, whines, and cries of racism and gnashing of teeth from the wokesters. Is it time to get the hell out of Dodge yet, you think? So how's your plan B coming? Meanwhile, that same travel magazine, Travel Noir, N-O-I-R-E, has another noteworthy article for us gringos and expats. The title of this one is, get this, famous rap and reggaeton stars Cardi B, Offset, and Burna Boy boost Jamaica as their favorite location for rap and reggaeton music celebrities. Well, I guess I know what vacation destination to permanently scratch off my list. Meanwhile, we've got reason 4,687 why it's imperative, if you've got a half a brain, to get the hell out of Dodge while you still can. Turns out the Hamtramck City Council, it's a little city right next to Detroit, Michigan, you know. That little city has a population of 28,000 people, and over half of them are Muslims. Well, their city council members, who are all Muslim, just approved the citywide measure, allowing residents to sacrifice animals in their homes. Yep, progress marches on. I'd be interested to see how those animal rights organizations and PETA are going to respond to this. I suppose they'll all be chicken shits. Everyone's so deathly afraid of speaking out against the Muslims, huh? Even wokesters and women's rights groups completely clam up. Don't tell me you haven't noticed. Some people, you know, come to America under the guise of seeking a better life. That's the rumor. Meanwhile, countless Americans with half a brain escaped to Latin America under the same pretext. And that's fact, not rumor. So again, I guess it's worth asking, how's your plan B coming? All right, now I want to mention a few things off topic. Like, for example, why I get so little junk mail, spam, and ads. I almost never get any spam. By the way, when I talk about products and stuff that I use, I don't get a commission. There are no links for you to click through, so I get some kind of commission. I'm just not into that. However, I think in a month or two, there will be something I'm promoting besides my seminar that you'll really like and I recommend. Just helping someone out who's got a good product, though only because it's a really good idea. Anyway, like I tell people all the time, you really ought to switch over to the Brave browser, B-R-A-V-E. You won't regret it. In fact, I'm looking at the statistics page now, the data, you know, on my Brave browser. And since about 4 months ago, when I set all the parameters to zero, so I've just got data for the last 4 months. It says I've had 204,524 trackers and ads blocked by the Brave browser. There's other stats too, but that's the main one. Can you imagine 204,000 trackers and ads blocked? And the Brave browser is free. Anyway, on top of that, I always use a VPN. There's a lot of good ones out there, and I don't recommend you get a free one because nothing's for free, right? You get what you pay for, like this show. Anyway, I pay, I think, about $60 a year for my VPN. So I do highly recommend you get a VPN, but you get one that you pay for, not a free one. Oh, and for those of you guys and gals out there who are slightly computer illiterate, you know, that really doesn't matter. You shouldn't feel embarrassed about it. If you're having any problems online or with your devices, just ask any 8-year-old. Hey, don't laugh. It's not that funny. Anyway, a VPN is an acronym for Virtual Private Network. So why do you use it? Because it hides your IP address. Your computer has an individual IP address, that's Internet Protocol address, that can be tracked quite easily, by the way. So a VPN, a virtual private network, hides the information about your physical location while securing your digital data through encryption. So in other words, for example, if you set your VPN that says your location, hypothetically, is in Portugal, let's say, but in reality, you're surfing the net on the sofa eating Cheetos in Cleveland. That would mean in most cases, if you're doing an internet search for practically anything, let's say a recent news article. Well, guess what? The letters might just not come up in English, but in Portuguese, because the site you're searching will detect that you're in Portugal, but you're really not. The VPN did that for you. Anyway, you get the idea. The cool thing is, and you'll find this out, if you set your VPN to a third world country, let's say you set it for Uruguay, well, guess what? No first world advertisers are ever going to send you an ad or spam or a pop-up window. Their algorithms concentrate on people living in the first world who've got the dough, not the people in Uruguay whose average wage is like $300 or $400 a month. You get it now? Now, there's another service I use every day. Again, I make nothing from this by telling you. Though over the last 5, 6, 7, even 8 years, I've been using it as one of my main anonymous email accounts or multiple accounts. It's $60 a year, but as mentioned, if there's an email service that's free, you are the product they're collecting and selling your data. So anyway, I'll tell you what I really love about StartMail that almost no other service has. Aliases. I'm talking about email aliases you can instantly create and destroy, and you can make an unlimited number of them. For example, if you want to sign up for Spotify, they're going to ask you for an email address, right? Let's say you have a Gmail or a ProtonMail account. Well, now Spotify is going to sell all your data, and you're going to get all kinds of pop-up windows and ads and spam at the email address you use to sign up. However, if you've got a StartMail account, you can create an alias, let's say Spotify1234. Then that address, Spotify1234@startmail.com, is where all the junk mail ads and spam are going to get dumped. And you don't want all that junk, so then how do you ever get rid of it? Well, you just go into your Start Mail account and deactivate Spotify 1234, and guess what? You've cut them off completely, but still, you have a Spotify account, because that's what you signed up with earlier. So if you don't want to get on a bunch of lists and get a bunch of junk mail and spam, you need an email address, let's say, to download a white paper, unlock a coupon code, sign up for an online service, get a report. You know, these days they'll always ask you for an email address, and if it's not a real one, you won't get it. They verify it, right? And you got to go in there sometimes, and you got to hit the link to make it work. Well, you just create an alias in Start Mail. It takes 2 seconds. Use that to unlock the coupon code or white paper, whatever. And then hit the deactivate link. Just hit the deactivate button, and you'll never get any junk mail or spam again from the people you just signed up with. So the fact is, you can create simple, single-use aliases. You can call them burner aliases, if you like. As many as you want, too. And you can use them when you don't want to give out your main address to sketchy sites or online services you aren't committed to. By the way, they also let you create these burner aliases with a click of a button that'll expire after an hour of being active, guaranteeing that you won't receive any spam from unwanted sources at all. Or you could keep it active a day, a month, a week, a year, or forever. In fact, I'm looking at my aliases right now, and in the last, I'd say, what, 6, 7, 8 years, I've accumulated over 30 of them, and at least half of them are deactivated. That means about half of them were just one-shot aliases that I used just for an hour or so. You know, to get a report or a coupon code or fire off a loud or obnoxious email to someone that deserved it. Yep, you can do that too, and it'll never get back to you. Never get traced. Are you seeing the value of this? Sure, it costs $60 a year, but like I said, my computer is almost spam and ad-free. And remember, I've had a Gmail account since I started this show. I hate it. But I've got tens of thousands of emails in there. What am I going to do? And still, I bet I don't get 2 spam emails a day in that account. Now, a lot of people swear by Proton Mail, and you can get a free Proton Mail account, by the way. But once you start signing up for things with your Proton Mail account, you will get spam. However, if you set up your Brave browser as your main browser and search everything through Brave, it'll cut your ads and spam, whatever account you're using, by 90 to 95%. And the Brave browser has an app for your smartphone, too, so don't forget to use that all the time. Anyway, just a few tips and suggestions that make my browsing experience headache-free. Then again, it's free advice, and you know what that's worth.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.